very warm welcome to the NFL 2024 draft preview episode of the Jefferson Madrinks podcast, the pod on a mission to normalize 18 fantasy leagues. I'm Pete McManus, and I'm the man charged with supervising the pod, basically making sure that H doesn't go off on a 10-minute rant about some fourth-round linebacker from Penn State. As always, I'm joined by these two wonderful people.
Ian Harrison.
And Howard Monk.
How's it going, H?
Oh, good. How are we?
Yeah, sound. Yeah, brilliant.
Very good.
Excited for this one.
Recovered from last week?
No, it's still hurts. Well, I messed up badly, so I apologise to all of our listeners.
I was going to say, it was great to have Matt on the pod last week. I'm still shocked at the revelation that the JTT Cup has moved to 10-team leagues.
Oh, I know.
All it's done for me is prove that we've still got a long way to go in our mission to normalise the 18 league. So,
yeah,
just a reminder that there's a job to do for this podcast and for the people.
But the key point is that Matt recognises what our actual mission is.
Yeah. So we're obviously getting somewhere.
People are aware of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
And since then, we've all been allocated a division in the JTT Cup.
Well, the same division.
Yeah, we have.
And it was the same division. So the Oasis division is up and running in the JTT Cup. And yeah, you're
three. We're all very, very blank.
It's going to... I don't know what the... Is it just people from Manchester?
I would assume so. Unless everyone else is either called Noel or Liam.
Yeah. So... Yeah, we will keep everybody abreast of what goes on in the in the draft.
Just on the names there. Sorry to interrupt, Pete. Sorry. Just on the names there. You know, last week we mentioned the Stets division. I was furious because I came up with an absolute belting team name, which was when Keenan's gone and you can't go on for my Stets thing, and then I got thrown into the Oasis one, and I had to try and come up with something. But luckily, having the name Watt as one of your sort of team legends, it's kind of easy to get one. But I also did have Say It Loud and Sing It Stroud, but that was too long. So again, furious, but we made it.
Yeah,
and I have to say, your two team names are quality as well.
Which is all... As I'm gonna be honest, is all Ian's work, because I spent far too long trying to come up with something, didn't come up with anything great, and then Ian was like, "Why don't you just go with this?" I was like, "That's much better than what I came up with." So, yeah, what's yours again, Ian?
Mine is Rock and Roll Jamar instead of Rock and Roll Star.
I like that. And what did you go with in the end, H?
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and mine's Half the World, Matt Gay. So, yeah. which was brilliant.
Quite proud of that one, to be fair.
So, nice work, Ian, on that. So today we are talking 2024 NFL draft. So we're going to use the rest of the first quarter to have a little bit of a look back on the first couple of rounds of the last draft, so 2023 draft. Then in Q2, we will go on to talk about quarterbacks. In Q3, we're going to talk about wide receivers because there seems to be a lot more of those than there are running backs or any other position. And then in Q4, we'll do running backs, tight ends, and H's around the grounds, any sort of others that he wants to mention, which might be released as separate content where me and Ian aren't here. So,
anyone else that H wants at the Texans?
Yeah. So looking back, so let's start with, and I thought, well, we're not going to go through the whole of the first round because, let's face it, that's pretty dull. But as a fantasy podcast, I thought it'd be interesting for us to just look at the interesting positions, the fantasy relevant positions of last year's draft. Yes. So at one overall...
I'm glad you've done that because that's all I've prepped for.
Yeah. At one overall, there was some debate, but I think we knew before the draft came that Bryce Young was going to be that one and the Panthers traded up. And I think we've had this discussion on the pod before that, at the very least, the jury is still out on Bryce Young.
He's going to come good.
Well, I don't know whether he'll come good. I would like him to come good. I'm just not sure. I didn't see much of anything from Bryce Young. That one good game towards the end of the season. Other than that, I didn't really see anything else that's showing me that he could come good in the future. But I hope he does.
I think he'll have a slightly better season, but as I've already pointed out, I didn't see, I'm with you, Ian, I didn't see anything there last season.
No.
At two overall, what is looking like one of the better draft picks from the last few years by any team was the Texans and CJ Stroud. So I'll hand over to H to have his 20 seconds of CJ. I don't think we need to get into too much detail of CJ Stroud. He's looking like a very good pick, mate.
Yeah, definitely. Solid. Only 5 interceptions last year. Keeps the ball in sort of safe areas. And yeah, he's just class. Amazing turnaround.
The one non-fantasy relevant player was, I thought would be worth mentioning because he's also a Texan, is Will Anderson at 3. That's looking like a good pick. You know, I think it's a lot easier to hit on defensive ends and players of those positions at the top of the draft. But it's not always easy. So it's not always a guarantee, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm more excited for Will Anderson this year purely because of Danielle Hunter coming in. Now, I think John Granard's a really good player. He goes to the Vikings and we replace him with Danielle Hunter, who probably has a bigger name than John Granard. So he may take a lot of those double teams that Anderson sort of had. So I'm really excited for Will Anderson this year. I think he's going to have a really solid year.
And then at 4, which is, I think is the amount of games he played in last year, was Anthony Richardson, who I'm obviously still very excited about, but the injury kind of ruined last season. I think the big positive from the Colts is if you're going to get that sort of injury and you're going to need an operation and you're going to be out, do it early in the year so that he is already throwing and he's back and it's only April. Hopefully he'll have a full off season and he's got a good chance of going it again this year. But he really needs to learn not to take the hits. So
but I saw enough Anthony Richardson to be really excited about him for this year coming. And if he has learned to not take those hits that he was taking, he's going to be some player, I think.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Would be nice. And if not, we've got Joe Flacco in reserve, so the Colts are set for a big year. Whatever happens.
Well, you were all in on Gardner, weren't you, last year?
Yeah, he did all right.
We were
one defensive stop away from making the playoffs. So, the next one of relevance was Bijan at 8. He's been talked about in loads of fantasy circles. Not the season everybody hoped for, but in the end, I think he still finished in the top 10 running backs fantasy-wise. And I'm sure there's a lot of people excited about what will come with new coaching staff this season.
Yeah, I'm 100% on the Atlanta hype train this year. I think it's going to be a massive jump. Watching Bijan play for Texas as well, everyone saw he was going to be a stud, and I don't think that's going to change. I think he's probably going to be relied on a little bit more this year. I know Tyler Allgeier is still there, and he's a good, solid player, but I think with signing Kirk Cousins, they may bring in Bijan a little bit more because he's a dual threat sort of running back. So I'm excited for Bijan this year.
He's a good player. That was a good pick for the Falcons, I think.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins rushing out of the pocket will terrify defences as well. So that opens up for Bijan too, yeah?
Yeah.
The dual threat nature of Kirk Cousins. I'd love to see him try. The next one off the board was another running back, which the Lions, I can't remember, did the Lions trade up or did they just trade? But they took Jahmyr Gibbs. They took Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. And I think that was a bit of a surprise at the time. But again, the Lions have shown they know what they're doing in the draft because that's worked out quite well. They looked, I mean, they made the, what, divisional round last year? Championship game.
When the Lions got Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm sure we'll all remember how excited they were in the office.
Yeah.
Like they were literally running around high-fiving each other and they were dead excited about drafting him and it proved why. He was awesome last year.
Yeah.
So I remember sort of sending that video and I actually listened to a bit of it and they actually said when they traded back, I think it was like 6-12 or something like that, and they they basically didn't think he was going to be there at 12, and that's why they were so sort of pumped that he had landed. But it's a 1-2 with Montgomery. He had a great year.
It's funny how you never see those videos of them going, like, looking back on players that failed. you never see the videos of them. Look how excited they were to get X player who bombed out in the draft. You only ever see the ones of when it's been a success. Yeah, it's funny that. So that was Jahmyr Gibbs. That was the end of the running backs for round one. But then the wide receivers started at 20, and there was a run of four back-to-back. Jackson Smith and Jigba at 20 went to the Seahawks. Quentin Johnson went to the Chargers. Zay Flowers to the Ravens. And Jordan Addison to the Vikings. And they've all had... None of them have really taken the league by storm, but I feel like they've all still got a little bit of potential. Maybe biggest question mark against Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, biggest question mark against Quentin Johnston, but he's probably got the best opportunity this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So he's got a chance now this year to potentially be wide receiver one and show what he actually can achieve. I think Jordan Addison had a really good year. I think he's got eight touchdowns in a row. Which was incredible. Incredible return for a rookie as well. Zay Flowers, up and down. He showed he could be a game changer. But then other games, because I had him in quite a few leagues, he just did nothing for you. And then I thought Jackson Smith and Jibba was kind of a victim of the offense, really, because he's gone to the Seahawks and he's surrounded by talent.
Yeah.
And he just has to take what he can get.
And I'm surprised they brought Lockett back. Because it felt like he dropped off a little bit. As much as I love Tyler Lockett, it felt like he dropped off a little bit last year. But Smith and Jigba was back in that same boat. But he needs to prove it. But they might have a change of philosophy, because I think Pete Carroll always wanted to run the ball, didn't he? Like it's Walker, and they brought Charbonnet in. And they wanted to run the ball, which obviously reduces the opportunities. And if you're reducing the opportunities between two or three wide receivers, then he's never going to get the chance. But Addison's an interesting one, because it's a big drop off from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold.
Oh yeah,
if they don't draft someone,
it
probably won't have as much of an effect on Jefferson, but I think it will have an effect on Addison.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Moving forward,
he could be in for a tough second year. But I managed to pick up Quentin Johnston as part of a trade in one of the dynasty leagues.
Oh yeah,
I'm sneakily pleased about that. I think he might come good.
I think, like you say, he's got the biggest opportunity. We're going to talk about this draft, and they've obviously got quite a high draft pick.
Yeah,
and we'll go on to sort of predictions and stuff. But I'm adamant that I don't think they're going to take a wide receiver high up. I think they're just going to rely on what they've got and trying to run the ball. So, be interesting.
Of the ones to like make a bigger jump this year, I'd say it probably is Quentin Johnston, all because of what you said there. But I also think they're probably going to draft a wide receiver, because I think losing Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is. Injured as Mike Williams is, I feel like they have to, and I know we're going to come on to that in a bit, but of the four of them, Quentin Johnson's the one that I think is probably going to do the biggest jump. The one that I really want to see get more involved, though, is Jackson Smith and Jigba, because I loved him out of Ohio State. He's absolutely freak of nature, and he just didn't seem to really get going in his first year, so I think there could be a chance of him stepping up as wide receiver two and maybe taking over from sort of the aging Tyler Lockett, which is sad to say, because I know you're a massive fan of him as well, Pete.
Love Tyler Lockett. Well, yeah. I think we've got about 15 seconds left in the quarter. So just before we do, there's one last player in the first round. I thought we'd get on to the second round, but as always, we talked too long. Dalton Kincaid, I think we all agree, he showed enough to look like a good pick for the Bills.
Yeah, and it looks like he's seen off Dawson Knox as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right, second quarter. Let's talk.
That's loud on me through the headphones. That.
Yeah, that is a new graphic that I came up with, and I didn't give you any warning, did I, H?
No, not at all.
I was waiting for you to dial in. I played that for Pete, and Pete knew it was coming. And you kind
that's of what happened. Mate, that's what happens if you just rock up at the last minute thinking, oh, just you're like the Alan Brazil of the JMD pod. You just roll in as the credits are playing, yeah. Ready to chat.
Yeah. Sorry, boys, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah, the rest of us were here.
Yeah, some of us need to prep for the rookies and some of us know what they want to talk about. So, yeah, we'll crack on.
I'm saying a word for the next three quarters.
We're going to talk quarterbacks. Obviously, we're the big one at the top of the draft, Caleb Williams. He's going to the Bears. I think what's really going to annoy me next week, because I've booked the Friday off, because obviously in the UK, things happen in the middle of the night when it's NFL related. So I am going to stay up and watch the draft next week. And it's really going to annoy me when the 3-hour build-up finishes and it's like, right, the Bears are on the clock and that timer starts. And 6 minutes into the timer, they still haven't put the thing in. It's like, yeah. We all know what's happening. You could have
written this out. You had months to do this.
Yeah. Why are you messing me around? Get it done. So some of us have got to get to sleep. So but it is going to be Caleb Williams. I've not seen one mock draft anywhere that's even dared to think it could be somebody else. They've moved Justin Fields on. And he seems like the best prospect out of college since Trevor Lawrence, since Andrew Luck.
Well, since college since Trevor Lawrence means he's probably going to be a mid-tier quarterback by year three.
Hey, Trevor Lawrence he could still come good. Leave Trevor Lawrence alone.
I think Caleb Williams comes out with like he's not the traditional quarterbacks that people have been high on, like Lawrence, like Burrow, like Luck, where they sort of stand in the pocket. People are seeing more the special things that he does, and if you ever go and watch his tape, he is literally a highlight reel after highlight reel. So, I there's no way anyone goes number one other than Caleb. He looks a special player.
I believe his numbers dropped off last year on the year before. Does that worry you a bit, or was he in the I'm already number one in the draft mode? I don't need to do this.
No, not really. Like, I don't think he was, because at the end of that year, there was a lot of talk of who was going to be the biggest one between him and May, and it seemed that they both had kind of a little bit of a slump, whereas Jaden Daniels shot up, which is, I know they're the other two that were, or two of a few that we're going to talk about there. But Caleb, he still seemed to constantly be able to make plays that no one else can make. And I think that's what makes him kind of special. Like, you think he's in trouble and he's not. And whether he gets that kind of time in the NFL, probably not. I think you'll see that he maybe takes a few sacks, especially early doors when he's learning sort of the pace of the game and things like that. But when it comes to sort of arm talent, seeing, you know, what's ahead of him and things like that, I don't see a better prospect than him. He also doesn't have many weapons. Like, if you look at the Jaden Daniels, he's having two first round receivers potentially. Drake Mays has one that I can't think of his name at the
moment. I think that's it. Like, when you I think we mentioned this the other week, but the difference between him and other number one overall picks in the last 10 years is he's not coming into the worst team in the league. Like, they've got that draft pick because the Panthers are daft and messed it all up last year. So they're not, I mean, they're the ninth worst team in the league technically, but they've since then added Keenan Allen. He's coming in and he's got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and most rookie quarterbacks are not coming in with those sort of weapons to use. And DeAndre Swift at running back, it feels like they've got enough around him to kind of go, if you're going to be successful, we've set you up. As opposed to, you know, when you use Trevor Lawrence as the comparison, when Trevor Lawrence came in and you had Urban Meyer and they were the worst team in the league and the whole thing's a mess, and it takes the second season, he gets a new coach in, and it feels like he's set up a little bit better. Using Chad Reuter, who I'd never heard of until a couple of days ago, Chad Reuter's mock, on NFL website. I used his mocks because he goes into five rounds.
Yeah,
which is a lot of work. I've got, a lot of time for that because he's not going to get any of that right. But
I made the point the other week, like doing mock drafts is just endless.
Yeah.
You do one and then 30 seconds later, someone makes a trade. Yeah. Someone cuts someone and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's ruined.
But so
I play into mock drafts. Really.
Yeah. Well, he's got Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders and Drake May going to the Patriots. I can't see any situation other than three quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and that's when it might get interesting. Yeah. I don't really know whether we should let you talk about Drake May, H, because you've already had like a 15-minute rant on this podcast about him.
No, it's fine. I can go quick with this one. So those two quarterbacks are both 2 and 3, and like I said on that sort of run, it doesn't matter which way round you have them, that is quarterback 2 and quarterback 3. There's like, I prefer Drake May, but I know a lot of other people prefer Jaden Daniels because of his rushing ability and things like that, and I can completely understand that. It just depends on the type of quarterback that you like. Drake May's more of a Josh Allen style running quarterback, whereas Jaden Daniels is more of a Lamar Jackson kind. And it's just what you prefer. Both are solid quarterbacks, and I believe both will be good in the NFL, one way or another. I just think both of these two are less sort of there already NFL picks. I think they both of them will need a little bit of growth time.
Do you have a preference, one or the other? Who's your favourite?
Mine's Drake May. I do prefer Drake May, but I see him going to the Pats.
On that basis, would you rather see him go to the Commanders or the Patriots?
Honestly, the Commanders. I think the Commanders are in a better position. They have, I think it's six picks in the top 100. They've obviously got Terry McLaurin already there. Say again, sorry.
And Joanne.
Yeah, they've got Terry McLaurin there. probably going to take a wide receiver in the second round, and is around that area. And we'll talk about the wide receivers, so I won't go on to them. But I think the Commanders will be a far better landing spot for either of the two of them. I think they've got better sort of weapons there.
It's hard with the Patriots, isn't it? Because we're so used to the Patriots being Bill Belichick that it's I've found this with all of their, like, we're at that point of the year we start thinking about next year for fantasy football, and it's like, whoever the Patriots have got, I don't really know what to do with that, because I don't know what the Patriots are going to look like. Is it just going to be the same thing as it usually is, which means they're going to run out 4 different running backs and none of their wide receivers are going to be any good, and therefore the quarterback's not going to be very useful in fantasy? Or is it going to be like a complete tear down, start it all again and different philosophy?
Well, I think this is the thing that really annoys me with the Patriots this year, is they've had, was it 100 million in cap space? They've got a decent O-line. That was evident that, what is it, they lost, is it their D conceded less than 15 points in 3 weeks in a row and they lost all 3 games. Like, it's ridiculous that they've got a D that's ready to go. They've got an offensive line that can move the ball. You compare like the Bears to the Pats. The Bears went out, they've got two stud wide receivers now. They've got 3 running backs that can all, well, 2 of them are definitely RB1s, and then you've got Roshon Johnson, who we've not seen fully yet. Like, the Bears have done everything possible to make Caleb Williams transition into the NFL as easy as it can, whereas the Patriots haven't done that, and that's why I think they may be the surprise one of the draft, but I still see them going quarterback, because you're not going to win many games with Jacoby Brissett, sadly.
He's not bad. He's not bad.
He's not bad. He's not bad, but of the top 3, the one that I could see trading back, it would be them.
So moving on from there, our boy Trad has got, in his latest mock, the Broncos trading up with the Cardinals to take JJ McCarthy at 4. So he's the next one on the list. He's the one, like, following through from the combine and everything else. He's the one who seems to have been talked up the most over there in terms of where he was 3 months ago to where he is now. It feels like he's the one who's risen the most in a lot of people's eyes.
I think it helps when you win the college championship, though.
Yeah. As it should, to be fair.
Exactly.
I don't think you need to trade with the Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't taking a quarterback.
No, it's just a case of where you can get in there, though, isn't it?
They'd have to trade with the Chargers, maybe.
Giants, Chargers.
I think I have seen a few mocks. I've seen
the Cardinals all day are taking Marvin Harrison Jr., aren't they?
I think they'll be foolish not to, but we're going to
answer that. I think they will.
We'll probably get onto that later anyway when we're talking about receivers.
Yeah.
Trading with the Cardinals to get a quarterback at 4, I think you might be overpaying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see it being the Broncos either. I think the Vikings have already made the move to be the ones to trade up. I can see a few of them trading up to try and get JJ McCarthy. The Broncos would be one, the Raiders would be another, the Vikings definitely. And I think the Vikings are in that better spot because they've got 2 first rounders this year. I think that makes a massive difference because they got the 2 this year, then they've got next year's that they can throw in there, maybe a second if you're going from 11 to 4 or 5. If I'm the Cardinals, I'm not moving. But like I say, we'll come onto that probably in a minute too.
So next on the list, Chad has got, he's got 5 quarterbacks in the first round. The 5th one goes to the Vikings at 23, and it's Bo Nix from Oregon.
Yeah.
And is that good news for Jordan Addison? Is he better than Sam Darnold?
Similar kind of players.
That's not great, is it?
Yeah. I'm more intrigued by Penix myself. I think Penix is...
Yeah, I have Penix over Bo Nix.
I do.
And just for clarity, I have JJ McCarthy over Drake May. Sorry, H.
No, it's fine. You believe the hype. It's fine, my friend.
I think Jalen Daniels is clear number 2. Won the Heisman. More rushing yards than any other QB. Obviously going to be fantasy relevant if he keeps his rushing yards going.
The thing with Daniels is, and I mentioned this earlier, he's had 2 stud wide receivers, and but in the same vein, so did Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow's top 3 quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, like I'm the reason I go with Penix is
top 3 quarterback in the NFL.
Joe Burrow is a top 3 quarterback in the NFL, I reckon. Yeah, top 3, top 5.
Well, there's a difference. There's a difference between 3 and 5. He's not top 3. I like Joe Burrow, but he's not top 3. I'm not having it.
A fully fit Joe Burrow, I probably have it 3.
I probably have him at 1.
Probably.
He's not 1. He's definitely not 1.
Do you reckon?
But Penix is a real accurate quarterback. I think if I read a stat, I think there's him and Spencer Rattler, who is one that I am keen on in the lower draft. But those 2, apparently, there's of all the quarterbacks drafted in the top or in the first round, I think there's something only like 6 quarterbacks that have a higher passer sort of completions rating than Penix and Spencer Rattler. But Penix is more... We saw this 40-yard dash. The guy can move as well. Bearing in mind, he's had 2 ACL tears. Like he's the one that intrigues me the most. I think he could be a really good pick in the second round there.
All right, that wraps us up on quarterbacks in round in quarter 2. I think those graphics need to be slightly longer.
I think you're allowed.
Your timer's just gone off, mate.
That's it. Oh, the joys. Everyone gets to see the enjoyment of what we're doing now. We don't get to cut this bit out anymore. We just got to go with it. So everyone comes behind the curtains of the JMD pod. Right, let's move on to wide receivers. So, Chad, our mate Chad, has got five wide
receivers. Leave him alone, man.
I'm using his picks. He's got five wide receivers going in the first round. He's got another five wide receivers going in the second round. The first one he's got, as I said, he's got the Broncos trading up, which means Marvin Harrison ends up going to the Chargers. Marvin Harrison, it's a bit like the Caleb Williams of the wide receiver world. He's going as the first wide receiver off the board. I think there is a little bit of a question as to where he goes, because I agree with what you both said earlier. I think the Cardinals would be daft not to take him. Like, you've got your quarterback, you've started building up a bit. You had a decent draft last year. Used this opportunity to go and get the best wide receiver to come out of college in God knows how long, and give Kyler Murray a really good weapon, especially when you haven't got any and your best wide receiver's just walked out the door and gone to the Chiefs. But if they get offered a load, it might be hard for them not to trade down.
It depends on the offer, doesn't it, obviously?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't see a world where the Cardinals do it, but if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Chargers, that's like a dream.
That was going to be my next question. So I don't think there's much point in us sitting here and talking about if Marvin Harrison's going to be any good or not, because it sounds like he is.
God.
So where do we, from a fantasy point of view, I mean, I've got the first overall pick in one of our dynasty, in that one dynasty league, and I'm picking Marvin Harrison wherever he goes. So I think there's a couple of us in this group will end up with him in various dynasty leagues. Where's the ideal situation, and where's the situation that worries you the most?
Either of them. Cardinals or Chargers. They've both got a franchise quarterback, both good quarterbacks. I personally prefer Herbert, but I know you prefer Kyler, Pete.
Not for Marvin Harrison. I think if he ends up at the Chargers with Justin Herbert throwing the ball to him and the best option he's got is him or Josh Palmer, then that's just...
Forget Quentin Johnson. I think he's going to be amazing wherever he goes.
What do you think, Ian? Where's the best landing spot? Chargers?
I think it's the Chargers. The reason I think it's the Chargers is because Justin Herbert doesn't do as much on the ground, whereas Kyler Murray, he will do more for the team than Justin Herbert will. Justin Herbert will put the game in Marvin Harrison's hands rather than trying to run it on his own. And I do think the opportunity is greater for Marvin Harrison with Justin Herbert, especially with downfield balls. Justin Herbert's got a much better downfield arm than Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I'm still holding out hope that we trade T. Higgins to the Cardinals and take their fourth as part of the trade, and we take him.
Yeah. I'll be honest, the Bengals Twitter is doing my head in at the minute with the Justin Jefferson rumours. Like, it's not...
Well, I think the good thing with that, Ian, is you can hold out hope for another 9 days and then you're going to have to give it up, mate. You can move on.
I saw an interesting stat on Marvin Harrison Jr. actually the other day. He was double-teamed more than any other wide receiver since records began.
Jesus. And still put up those numbers.
Yeah.
Did you see Ian say that he wants to play for the Colts, by the way?
Well, obviously, who doesn't want to play for the Colts? Let's be honest.
Well, his dad was there, wasn't he? But he said in an interview the other day, I'd love to play for the Colts and continue my father's legacy there. And I was just like, oh, come on, just don't come to the AFC South. Like, we don't need that at all.
I think that would be great. I can't see how we I can't see how we can move up from, what are we, 15? Yeah, I can't see how we can move up from 15 to 4 in order to get him. So, but you never know. Ballard might have something up his sleeve. He's not done a hell of a lot in free agency, so maybe he's got something planned. I tell you what, the one situation that worries me, and this brings us on to the next guy on the list, is, and I can't see how this happens, but if he slips and ends up going to the Giants or the Titans, that I think, as I know what you're saying, H, he's going to be successful wherever he goes, but I'd be pretty disappointed if he's got Will Levis or Danny DeVito or whoever it is for the Giants throwing him the ball. That's considering what he could have in a Justin Herbert, that would be a pretty disappointing result next Thursday. And that brings us on to Malik Nabers, who I watched a bit of tape on him, and I watched a bit of tape on Adunze, and Malik Nabers looks absolutely electric to me. I was like, he is the obvious choice for a lot of teams, and if he goes to the Giants, I'm going to be really disappointed.
I think Nabers had a better year than Adunze, but then that can be quarterback related, can't it? Because obviously, Nabers had Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Adunze had Penix, though.
Yeah, I know, but there's
definitely a different class. Yeah.
Between Jaden Daniels and Penix.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know.
There is something about Nabers.
He just looks, I don't know, when he gets the ball, whether he's getting it underneath or going over the top, it just felt like I'm only watching YouTube highlights, so he's going to look good. And they're not putting him off there when he doesn't do something great. But a little bit more than Adunze, he just looked a little bit more electric to me.
This is standard Pete, this though, isn't it? You see one hype video and that's it, in.
Hey, I've got
not talking hype videos.
I had to do a bit of prep for this episode. That is it. That was what I did. I watched them two, and I was like, "He's going to be brilliant." And then I was looking at mocks, and there was one mock where we traded up and ended up someone had the Colts trading up and taking Nabers, and I was like, "I'd be all over that. That'd be brilliant." But and on a lot of them, he seems to be going to the Giants, and I'm just like, and he also feels like a good fit for the Giants in the. He's got a little bit of Odell about him in the way that he moves and on the field. And I was just like, they're going to look at that and go, let's bring in the new Odell. And it'll just be rubbish for fantasy, is my point. He just won't put up as many points. So he's at two in terms of wide receivers. They've got Adunze is the third wide receiver off the board at eight, going to the Cardinals after they trade down and then trade back up again in this mock draft. Any thoughts? Anybody want to add anything on Nabers or Adunze? Can see them going the other way around, or do you think that's the 1-2-3?
No, when I was looking at this, I did it on the assumption that no one traded, which I know is highly unlikely, which means I've got Adunze going to the Chargers.
Going to the Chargers? Ahead of Nabers?
No, sorry, other way around.
Nabers going to the Chargers. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Adunze going to the Giants.
So, I'm exactly the same. I think Marvin Harrison clear one, Nabers is clear two, and then Adunze clear three. I think all three of them will have success in the NFL. I think when you were talking there, Pete, I think Nabers has that little bit more of a snap to his sort of roots, whereas Adunze is a bit kind of more smoother. But they're both very good in their own right. I was listening to Peter Schrager this morning, and he was saying that he believes a lot of GMs actually have Nabers higher than Marvin Harrison Jr. But I don't see that myself.
That feels like people are overthinking it.
Yeah.
That's a bit like you in a fantasy draft, mate.
Well, is that people just playing the game trying to put the Cardinals off?
Yeah.
If the Cardinals were put off by anything, and I wanted Marvin
Harrison Jr., I'd be bigging up Nabers to the Cardinals every day of the week.
If you are even a slight bit hesitant in picking Marvin Harrison Jr., you need sacking from your job.
And a lot of them will end up getting sacked from their jobs on the basis of mistakes they make next week, so that's quite relevant. So the next one he's got going is, which is a surprise because most mocks I've seen is Brian Thomas Jr., but it's Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs at 17, who will obviously have to trade up to get to 17 to take Xavier Worthy. He was the one who set the time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Broke the time.
Yeah.
Broke John Ross. What a great wide receiver he turned out to be.
But it's like, yes. People, I think people making too much of this setting the 40 record.
100%.
Because John Ross did it for the Bengals. We passed on Mahomes to take John Ross. Which, you know, I'm happy with Burrow in the end, but we could have taken Patrick Mahomes. We thought, you know what, John Ross is rapid. You know, Andy Dalton might be able to find him somewhere. And then it turns out his hamstrings are made of lasagna.
Do you know what the other thing with that is? Is not only that when somebody runs really quick, they move right up in mock drafts. It's not only that, but they always end up going to the Chiefs because it's like, well, the Chiefs are still looking for that Tyreek Hill replacement. He's really quick. I was like, it's just not as simple as that. Like,
I personally massively prefer Brian Thomas. I actually don't think Xavier Worthy reaches the first round. I get the hype, but he is such a project. And so just on the Texas wide receivers there, you've got Xavier Worthy and Anadyne Mitchell. And I reckon Anadyne Mitchell's probably the sixth on the list with you, Pete, after Brian Thomas.
He's not. Surprisingly, he is ninth.
Ninth. Well, he, for me, is more of a sure thing.
McConkey over Worthy.
Yeah, I do. I love Ladd McConkey. I have Keon Coleman over Xavier Worthy as well. I think Keon Coleman's a absolute monster of a receiver. He's probably second rounder.
They've got Worthy as fourth one going to the Chiefs, and then Brian Thomas as the fifth going to the Bengals, which
I think, Ian, you'd be over the moon with that.
We're not taking a receiver at 18.
I don't, unless you do a deal to get rid of Higgins that night or before that night, I can't see you taking
it. It's not going to happen. Like,
the tackles are too big for the Bengals to miss out on.
Everything I've seen is saying the Bengals are going to take a tackle at 18 unless Brock Bowers is still on the table.
Which I don't think he will be.
It's unlikely, but you never know. In terms of other wide receivers, so he's got five going in the second round in order, and I know we've just mentioned some of them. Ladd McConkey,
who will go first round,
has got a great name. So, you know, and I can just imagine.
I think he goes to San Fran.
I can just imagine him in my fantasy team going, go on, lad. that's what I need. But
he's got Ricky Purcell.
He's got him going to the Titans, which is a very disappointing. Again, I'd be surprised if the Titans take a wide receiver that high, having just paid Ridley. And then he's got Xavier Leggett going to the Saints, Johnny Wilson going to the Colts, Adonai Mitchell going to the Eagles, and Devontae Walker going to the Bears.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Ian, on any of them?
No.
Xavier Leggett is one of my... I've got three players that I'm really high on. Ladd McConkey is one of them. Xavier Leggett's the other. And Malachi Cole is the one that's probably going to go third round. Xavier Leggett's the really interesting one, though, because I think if he gets a really good landing spot, he could be a very, very, very good wide receiver too. I don't see him getting to wide receiver one. The only one of those that probably gets the wide receiver one is probably Ladd McConkey. He has, somebody said it, he has Cooper Kupp vibes about him with the way that he can separate. I was surprised that Keon Coleman and Ricky Purcell aren't in there because both of those two, Purcell out of Florida.
When you say he gets wide receiver one, what do you mean? What in what context?
Like wide receiver one, sort of in that team. Like I don't
usage.
Yeah, like
I mean, as the number one on that team, as opposed to right.
I feel like with some of the prospects they need. Seconds. Yeah, I think with some of the prospects they need that wide receiver one slash 1A, 1B with them, but that goes with every team really.
Okay. Anyone I didn't mention quickly? No.
I took my headphones out because of that.
Absolutely brilliant. He's
right.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Well done. Right.
Last quarter. Nobody talk. I've got
final quarter. Running backs. So yeah. I have seen a lot. Obviously, we talked about last year's draft and how two went in the top 12 picks. I've seen a lot of people talking about how we possibly won't get a running back in the first two rounds, let alone in that high up in the draft this year. However, my mate Chad has got the Cowboys taking Jonathan Brooks at 24 overall in the first round, which is the I'm not been checking all mocks, but I think the only mock I've seen where a running back goes overall. And I think Cowboys are definitely in the market for one.
I think you say it's the only mock you've seen where a running back goes in the first round.
Yeah.
I think this might be the only analyst that hasn't got Trey Benson as number one.
Yeah.
No, there's a few with Brooks. So the thing with Jonathan Brooks is his injury. So he had an ACL tear in, I think it was game 10. The thing with Brooks is as well, we don't know how good he can be, because for 2 years prior to last season, he was sat behind Bijan Robinson. No, because he was sat behind Bijan Robinson and Roshan Johnson. So he sits behind them. He gets his first year as a starter, which was last year. He plays 10 games, looks absolutely immense, but then gets injured. So he's one of them where he could be, he has maybe the potential to be the first rounder, like Chad says, but the more sure thing as a once or three down back is probably Trey Benson, because we've seen it more. So it's just on whether you can see Brooks going that step further. I personally have Benson one. I have Brooks at two and Corum three, but I'm really high on Corum, so yeah.
Where do you have Jalen Wright?
A very, very close four. Right. I like Jalen Wright because he's out of Tennessee. He's got a bit of everything about him. He's quite... His tape looks real quick. He's got fairly good hands as well. But I don't know.
I think
they're going to clump together.
Chad has got Brooks going to the Cowboys in round one. He's got Blake Corum going to the quite obvious Chargers in round two.
Yeah.
Jalen Wright going to the Ravens at the back end of round two. And then Trey Benson falling into round three and going to the Giants. So that's how he's got his top four, which,
yeah.
I mean, if Blake Corum doesn't get picked up by the Chargers in round two, I can't see how he goes somewhere else in round two. Like, if Harbaugh's not willing to take him, as a GM, you've got to look at that and go, well, if he doesn't think he's good enough and they need a running back, why are we taking him?
Yeah, true.
So I think if he doesn't go in round two, he probably slips to round three and ends up going to the Chargers in round three.
I think it's one of them where it's probably too rich of a pick to take him there, whereas fall into a later second round, it's not. I like Blake Corum, and Harbaugh clearly does from his time with him at Michigan. So I could see him going as high as two, but I personally think Trey Benson is a better prospect.
Do we all agree that either the Chargers or the Cowboys is the team you want? Like, if you've got a running back, you've got your eye on, 100%. They're the teams you want him to go to, aren't you?
100%.
I mean, the Raiders need one.
Are they not all in on Zamir White this year?
No, I don't think is anyone all in on Zamir White?
Raiders maybe, because it's a very Raiders thing to do.
Yeah. I can't see the Raiders going into the season with Minshew at quarterback and Zamir Wright at running back and just going, it'll be fine.
We've
still got a 42-year-old Devontae Adams on a wide receiver, so we'll be absolutely fine. Moving on, because we've only got 15 minutes to talk about every position that's left, and H is going to, you know, he's going to have something to say about defensive players or something. I don't know. Any other running backs we want to talk about? The next, I did make a note of the rest of the round three and round four ones he had. Marshawn Lloyd going to the Bucks, which with a name like Marshawn, he's going to be a good running back, isn't he? Will Shipley going to the Chiefs, Braylon Allen going to the Cardinals, and then Blake Watson, those last two in round four, going to the Colts. So, which seems a bit daft because we've got our running back. But
you need a running back too, though.
We've got that lad that the 49ers drafted, Trey Sermon. All right.
Trey Sermon, yeah. The one that I'm really intrigued about, I think he's going to fall probably to the fifth, is Isaac Garendo, who's just a speed guy. I think he'll be an awesome sort of third down back somewhere. I think Shipley is an interesting one because he's one of them that...
You're eating into your own time there, by the way.
So I know, yeah.
Carry on talking about running backs as long as you want, but you're just going to lose it at the end.
So Shipley's an interesting one because he's one that could potentially be... Yeah. You're now eating into my time. I'm intrigued by Shipley.
Okay, tight end. Is there anybody other than the one that we really need to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Tre'Davion Sanders is a good player.
Right, let's talk about the one.
He's going to be tight end
first. So the one is Brock Bowers, who from the mocks I've seen, he seems to be going about 9-10. He doesn't seem to drop out of the top 10. There's a very good chance he goes top 10. And in this draft, on Chad's draft, he's got the Jets taking him at 10 overall, which would just be another weapon for Aaron Rodgers to not throw to when he blows his other Achilles in week three.
I've got the Jets taking Fuaga at 10.
Who and Brock going where?
Not the Jets.
just hoping he goes to the Bengals.
No, I don't even think he won't drop to 18. He will not drop to 18.
From a Colts point of view, I've seen we basically get linked with a cornerback and Brock Bowers, and the cornerback changes from week to week. But it feels like if Brock's there, we might take him, but if not, we're going to take a cornerback. And that's all I've seen from the first round for the Colts, which, you know, we've got our running back, we've got our wide receiver, we've got our quarterback. I'm fine with that. I think Brock Bowers would be a great addition, but I'm not expecting it. So,
yeah.
Do you want to talk about other tight ends, H?
No, I think Jatavion Sanders is the only other one. Cade Stover out of Ohio State, but he'll probably be fourth round. There is a few others, but I won't bore you with them.
Right. I don't think you're boring anyone. You're keeping it to the point tonight.
Yeah.
Right. Because I want to get through it. I've got defensive players to talk about soon, so just hurry it up.
We've got roughly 6.5 minutes left of this episode. So how do you want to do this? What do you want, like, because at this point, me and Ian could just shut up and let you talk if you want, but who do you want to tell us about?
I think the one player that everyone should look out for in the draft, he's my favourite player. I think he's going to be a stud. And you said it earlier, Pete, with defensive ends, it's easier to predict. And that Dallas Turner out of Alabama, there's no... I think he will be the first defensive player taken. I don't see it being any other. There are a couple of other defensive ends that are pretty good. So you've got Jared Verse out of Florida State, Latu out of UCLA, and Chop Robinson out of Penn State as well. Those four are very good.
He was the only one I was going to mention because I'm all in on him. Anyone whose nickname is Pork Chop, I was like, absolutely brilliant. I hope he goes to the Colts. I was like, what a great... I'm already all in on him and I haven't even seen him play one snap.
Yeah. The cornerbacks are really good this year. So I think Terry and Arnold out of Alabama, you've got Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. He probably falls to the second. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
What a great name he's got.
That's what Pete taking him in fantasy if he was fantasy relevant.
He goes in at my number two player in this draft just after pork chop. Pork chop and Kool-Aid. I do. And that running back with Marshall, who's called Marshall or something or other. So they're my top three picks.
I can probably see four cornerbacks going in the first round, which would be Terry and Arnold, Quinion Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, and the other one's gone off my head. Cooper DeShaun, out of Iowa. They're all first-round prospects. Cooper DeShaun's probably the most intriguing because he can play outside corner, inside corner, safety, high safety. Yeah, he's a Swiss Army knife. When it comes to that, there's a few other ones, but maybe Rake Straw sneaks in there, but I don't think he probably will. I think he'll be a second rounder. The two big tackles that will, I actually predicted Byron Murphy going to the Bengals. I also could see them picking up one of the tackles if they fall, but I think if they don't, I could see Byron Murphy going there. He's a defensive tackle out of Texas. It's between him and Newton, and you can pick and choose who you prefer. But both of those two are probably going to be awesome, solid players. And then, I mean, I've got, I'll just quickly say, so I have the Titans picking Joe Alt at 7, who is the left tackle out of Notre Dame, I think. Who gave up one sack in 3 years of college. So, yeah, out of Notre Dame.
That's pretty impressive work.
Yeah, and then there's another one that I really like, but I think he's probably going to be maybe the third one. I think Fashanugo is probably higher than him. Maybe Latham out of Alabama as well, but I think Ian mentioned him earlier, Talizi Fuaga. Probably butchered his surname there, but I think he's a really interesting prospect.
That's what we do on this program.
Yeah.
He's out of Oregon State
by the end of next week. So,
but he didn't.
Who have you got the best taken at nine?
So I couldn't decide. So I have them either going with Latu, who's the defensive end out of UCLA. But I also have Romeo Odunze there, because if Odunze falls to 9, I could see them going him as a wide receiver. But I personally think it would be Latu more than Odunze because of the Allen trade.
Right, because I was thinking more J.C. Latham. Like they're gonna go out and get the quarterback. You gotta keep him on his feet.
Yeah, I personally prefer Fashanu over him, but that's just a personal preference. Both of them probably, I mean, the tackles this year are pretty awesome. You probably see as many as 4 or 5 going quite high. It's one of them where the sort of those runs on players will, I think once Joe Alt goes, I think Joe Alt will be the absolute stud at 7. I don't see anyone taking Joe Alt. It's other than the Titans at 7, because they're desperate for a left tackle. I don't know. I could see Latham going high, but I could also see him being falling to the fourth tackle. It's all personal preference at the end.
I've fought this for a while. I don't see the Bears taking Odunze because I don't think you go out and trade for Keenan Allen to go with DJ Moore. And all right, I can see the benefit of having a young stud wide receiver there as well, and just giving him loads of weapons. But it feels a bit OTT when, as you've already pointed out, Ian, you could make sure he stays upright, or you know, give him a little bit of protection in a different way. If he's complaining, if he's got DeAndre Swift, and then he's got Moore on one side and Keenan Allen on the other, and he's got Cole Kmet, and it gets to October and he's complaining about his weapons, someone needs to have a word with him. So,
yeah.
Last 15 seconds, H, give us one more pearl of wisdom.
I will say this very quickly. If Dallas Turner isn't the pick for the Falcons at 8, if I'm the Bears, I am making that pick so quick.
Cool.
Enough.
I think we did a good job there.
Yeah.
We previewed the draft. Some brilliant insight from H, despite the fact that he turned up like 2 minutes late or whatever, just rolled in at the last minute.
20 minutes late.
Nobody saw that. Thanks for listening or watching, as may be the case now. As always, follow us on the socials at JMD Pod. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Continue to subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review us if you can, that would help. And most importantly, share this with your mates and tell, you know, we really like to try and build this up as we go into season 2. So do what you can with that. There will be a little bit of bonus content. I think if we've got time to do that, we're putting a bit of a draft quiz together. So there'll be another little bit for you to listen to. So have a look for that landing as well. And if not, we will see you post-draft, where we'll have a review.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.